Society 13 Podcast Network. Redefining podcasts. Society-13.com.
I like to listen.
Welcome to Channel 9 of the STRY Radio Network, where stories live.
Before you listen to this podcast, be aware this show often uses very naughty language. If you don't like that, you shouldn't listen. Send your complaints to I Am a Whiny Baby with No Sense of Humor at nightstory.com or stop by the studio. I'll take you for a ride to a story of my choosing.
Welcome to the Night Story Podcast, episode 516. I'm Jeanette Andromeda.
And I'm Immortal Alexander.
And today we're interviewing horror author Mark Nixon from shadowsatthedoor.com. And first we'll hear a clip from one of the many stories in the audiobook version of Shadows at the Door anthology. And then
we're going to get a word from our sponsor. That's and right. Then
on into the interview where we're going to talk to Mark.
A Little Light Gets In by Daniel Foytek. It shouldn't be so difficult to make a room completely dark. She could wait until night, but Karen's too excited now. She tries again, tugging harder on the heavy drapes to close the gap. Her efforts cause the accumulated decades of dust to explode into the stale air. She sneezes. The sliver of light is gone now, but she needs to be sure. She looks around carefully, waiting for her eyes to adjust, waiting to be certain it's completely dark. She stands listening to the sounds of the old house settle and to her own breathing. Nearly a minute goes by. Satisfied, she presses the button on the side of her cell phone and uses its bright screen to find her way back to the table where the heavy projector sits. Everything looks good. 6-year-old Karen sees the figure looming in the doorway. Something familiar about his smell and the way he moves. He stands there for a long time. Something black and shiny drips from his hand into the patch of moonlight. She isn't afraid, but she knows she should be. She hears his breathing as he moves from the doorway into her room. She hears the familiar creak just beyond the foot of her bed as he steps closer. She feels his weight as he sits on the foot of her bed. He reaches out and rests his hand on little Karen's forehead, almost like Mama does when she checks her for a fever. But unlike Mama's hand, which is cool and dry, his hand is warm and sticky, wet. Something black drips down onto her nose. Another drop hits her cheek and rolls down her face. She feels it fall onto the sheet. He tilts his head to one side and lifts his other hand.
Well, welcome back, everybody. Today we have Mark Nixon from Shadows at the Door. Hi, Mark.
Hello there.
Welcome. If you guys are new to the Ninth Story Podcast, then you are also new to Mark. But Mark has come to the Ninth Story Podcast multiple times before. The first time was about ghost stories with Dan as the host, and then the second time was about creating the anthology that you just heard a clip from. And now we're kind of talking about your journey since then and everything else, but the most important thing I want to know is, how are you?
That's a terrifying question for an English person. Our instinct is to say, I'm fine, how are you?
I was just expecting her to
walk away.
Then walk away.
I was just expecting her to say banana for no reason.
That's really where my mind was going. I'm just in like a really random mood today.
You're in a happy mood because she had a really good time at the
At my marketing workshop
yes,
this weekend.
That thing.
No, not this weekend, during the week. Good Lord, I'm such a strange person.
It doesn't matter.
I'm awake all night and do workshops in the middle of the work week.
So first off, Mark, congratulations on the release of your new book, Shadows at the Door Anthology.
Yay!
Thank you.
You're welcome.
So the last time you were on the Ninth Story podcast, it was episode 327, and you were in the middle of the Kickstarter version of getting the anthology out into the world. And I'm not sure, I don't think Dan has had you on in between then and now.
Anticipated that I would die of a heart attack.
No.
reports of my demise were exaggerated, so I'm good.
Well, I'm good, but I'm glad to hear that, rather. But I would like to know what happened just for, like, I guess our listeners' sake, if they haven't been following you, which they should have been. Just saying, guys. But where has it gone since the Kickstarter, and kind of, like, catch us up to where we are now?
Okay. Well, the Kickstarter was successful due to the generous backing of existing fans, new fans, and pulling every marketing trick I could out of that. Things trot along quite smoothly. We'd already had a lot of the book made. I didn't want to go into a Kickstarter with it not having been written. Mm-hmm. But there were some final edits that we had to do. And then it just, all of these things that I hadn't anticipated, setting up a company, setting up an indie press, it just, all these little problems would pop up and I would have to deal with them. But eventually it got released on time. We were really worried we wouldn't get it on time, but I already had a launch party booked. And I had a job at the time that did not allow much time off, so mm-hmm. It had to be at that launch party. But we held it in a castle in Newcastle, and we had some actors called the Moss Troopers read from the book. They were absolutely fantastic. They actually read out Quem Infernos, which is my story, and one of the happiest moments of my life was as they were getting to the end of the story, people in the room were starting to call out.
Nice.
That's awesome.
And how did you guys get to have the premiere at a castle? How'd that happen?
Well, I was just looking for a venue, and so I live in a nature city called Newcastle, which surprisingly enough has a castle in it, which I genuinely did not know that.
Is it new?
For England.
For England. It's still older than America, though.
Yeah.
But the manager of the events of the castle, a guy called David Silk, he's really into this kind of thing. He was actually one of the Moss Troopers, and we arranged it in such a way that, you know, he wouldn't charge me for doing it. They would kind of collect tickets, and it was a proper little launch party. We had most of the British writers came up for it, and Barney, the illustrator, Caitlin Marceau actually flew over from Canada for it.
Wow.
Yeah, so we, out of guilt, I put her up an inflatable mattress in our house. but my wife made Shadows at the Door cupcakes, which had the logo on it.
Nice.
And the illustrations on it. Yeah, and I got to meet all of these writers face-to-face. It was amazing. We all had, and meeting some new fans, which was absolutely fantastic. Then I went quiet for a while because my twin girls were born the month after, which is obviously unbelievably happy time, but I was like, oh, this is gonna be difficult becoming a dad to twins, and it was just so much more. I actually took the site down, Shadows at the Door, for a little while so I could concentrate on it, and I was having some problems with the internet, the domain providers, so it has since been relaunched, and book sales have been steady, which has been nice considering I haven't been able to do much about it. And I've actually started going to conventions now, selling it and stuff. And
nice.
The audiobook came out like a week ago.
Yay!
Thank you. I just bowed.
Oh.
So Mark, for the audience that is not familiar with Shadows of the Door, why don't you explain a little bit of what that is?
So Shadows at the Door started off a good few years ago now as a blog. I was reading a lot of ghost stories, like a lot more than usual, and I had an itch to write one myself. I had no interest in pursuing it, you know, to publish it, and I just wanted to put it on a website that my friends could read. The story went on to be fairly popular, actually, and I just started adding more to it, and then it just became an online publisher. And then eventually people started saying we wanted a book, so we did the Kickstarter. But Shadows at the Door, the title represents what I think is best in horror. The atmosphere, crescendos, suggestion, things where if you've ever walked home alone at night and you're kind of playing with yourself going, oh, is there someone playing with yourself? Why did I just say that?
No idea. Keep going, though.
Wow. Great. Well, keep playing. No. Right. There was a disclaimer at the beginning of the podcast.
There was.
Yes, there
Victoria
was.
Has warned everyone. We are inappropriate.
Yeah. Your mind starts playing with itself. How's that?
There you go.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
You've ever kind of imagined like a figure behind a tree, or you can hear footsteps behind you and you just imagine that they're getting closer and closer. I think we all do that. Mm-hmm. And it's scarier than watching a really good horror film.
Yeah, definitely.
So I'm very passionate about that side of horror. That's where I think that's where it's at its best. And thankfully, a lot of other people seem to agree with me.
And that's what you imagined mm-hmm. it to be at first, as a website where it'd be a collection of short horror stories in that style.
Yeah, exactly. And it is still that now. We still do that, but we are also now an independent publisher, and I have all these little... I have my finger in all these different pies, and who knows what will become of it. But we'll always have the free stories on the site.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll get back to the website in a moment, because I have more questions for that. But one thing that both Alex and I were really curious about is, how did you get involved with Barney Bonadu, who does all of the illustrations? Well, almost Barney. All of them. Most of them.
It was kind of my wife who was responsible. It was Christmas, and she was just Googling stuff to do with M.R. James, who is one of my favorite writers, and that is a writer who Barney loves a lot as well. Barney illustrated a lot of his ghost stories, and she ordered me one of his prints for Christmas, and I just got in touch with him, and I said, oh, this is great. What's your favorite story of his? We just became friends, and... Mm-hmm. And I asked if he wanted to illustrate for the website, and he thankfully was very keen. And he's one of the nicest people you'll meet.
His artwork is stunning, and everyone who hasn't seen it should definitely follow the link on our show notes to go to shadowsatthedoor.com and see his artwork. It is just this beautiful mesh-like quality of dark, moody imagery, and it's gorgeous. So everyone... pause, go check things, and then come back.
And then zoom in on it, because you'll see the amount of detail that goes mm-hmm. into
yes.
it. It's incredible.
It is.
I pretty much just drool every time something new pops up on Instagram from him, and I'm like, oh my god, it's so beautiful.
just before I came on Skype to you guys, he just sent me a rough sketch of the next one he's doing for the website. He goes, oh, how is it? And he's never that confident in what he's doing. I'm like, Barney, it's amazing. Everyone I see is my new favorite.
Yeah, that's how I feel about Jeanette's work. Whenever I see her doing like Horror Haikus Day, or literally anything she's doodling on her desk, every single one becomes my next favorite. So,
well, and I'm very glad that I can now add my artwork to Shadows at the Door as well. So slowly I'll start adding things to stories. But I was really nice that you asked me to be part of it, because I love your website. I really did miss it while it was down. I'll say that, because like, I didn't realize how much of a habit I was in of, like, when I'm going to bed and I don't want to pull out, like, a full novel, I would always go to Shadows at the Door for, like, a bedtime story, like a creepy bedtime story, because I'm a weirdo like that. But I loved it. It was exactly what I needed, and I missed it while it was down.
Weirdos like you make me very happy.
So I'm glad it's back up. Now I have my bedtime stories back.
It was killing me each day it was down, but I just had to kind of prioritize and find the right provider for the website as well. So
yeah, what provider did you end up going with? I'm very curious.
Squarespace.
Oh.
Yeah, kind of pricey, but yeah, very professional. And because we're selling books now and art prints very soon, I kind of mm-hmm. wanted a website that would facilitate the store, because I was starting to do it on the old site and it was a very clunky PayPal link, so I just wanted it to look more professional. So
It looks slick. I think we should just jump to talking to the website, because I cannot wait to talk about it. It looks so beautiful. You had a good aesthetic before, but it's just so much cleaner across the board with how it looks. And I'm curious, like, what was building that website like for you? Because obviously you did it yourself.
It was difficult. They do have a good database of videos that just teach you how to do things.
Mm-hmm.
But sometimes you just have to kind of... I'm quite impatient. Sometimes I'll watch these things and I'll keep skipping it, and then I just want to jump in and figure it out myself. I still am figuring it out. There's a piece of artwork you provided that I've not put up yet because I just cannot physically get it in the place I want it.
Oh.
But they do have live chat and stuff, so I'll get there.
Oh, that's good. If you need me to alter it, I can.
Thank you. We should talk after that.
Yes.
So, Mark, you've been creating stories for two of our favorite creepy audio drama podcasts, The Wicked Library and The Lift, for quite a while now. How did that collaboration first get started?
Well, like nearly all of my collaborations, Twitter, a bit of a secret. I've never said this publicly, but one thing I really want from Shadows at the Door is to go into audio drama, like full cast productions, because there are companies like Big Finish that do an absolutely amazing job. The BBC do a lot of good stuff, and I really want that for Shadows at the Door.
Nice.
So I just kind of wanted to see how the stories would be narrated. I put on Twitter, can anyone fancy narrating a story? Because like every British man, if I hear a recording of my own voice, I vomit. And a gentleman called Dan Foytek got in touch and said, I would like to try. And he did. He did a remarkable job. He recorded about three stories for me. Then he became a podcasting legend.
Yeah.
He'd already, obviously, Nine Story was going for a long time, but he took off a Wicked Library, then The Lift took off. And I have a good relationship with Dan, and he told me about Victoria. He'd written just one pilot. He'd been sitting on it for a long time. And I said I wanted to do him a favor, seeing as he'd done all these recordings for me for free. So he asked me to write another pilot for The Lift, which I did. I'm still very proud of it. And I was so pleased when The Lift took off. And he would say to people, listen to the two pilots. This is your direction.
Mm-hmm.
And each time I would get copied into this, and I'd be like, oh, it's my baby. That's my story.
Was it pretty cool? Like, there was a YouTube video recently. Someone was reviewing The Lift on YouTube, and she was just geeking out about it. How cool was it that your episode was one of the ones she was like, this is the best episode of The Lift ever?
That was so nice, because that was my first public non-horror story. I just said to my wife, I was reading a lot of short stories, and I thought with ghost stories, particularly the type I like, there is very little LGBT representation.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought, if I can ever get one in there, you could have a character who happens to be LGBT, but I kind of wanted to make it more of a focus of the story without patronizing or insulting any groups. And the feedback I've got is that I managed to do that. And that's a story I'm very proud of. And a few people told me they've cried listening to it, which is just like, to make people cry makes me happy.
it's
a
beautiful
story. I really am proud of
it. It was a beautiful story, and I'm pretty sure I was one of those people that you made cry. So good job.
Yes.
So Mark, I'm very excited to also hear that the audiobook for Shadows at the Door, the anthology, just came out. I'm very curious, what was the process for making that like on your side of things?
I kind of feel it was easier for me than it was for Dan. So a little background on how I assembled the writers for the anthology. Mm-hmm. I made a controversial move of approaching approximately 8 writers who had appeared on Shadows of the Door, and I said, I would really like you to write a story for me. You'll be in the book, just write me a story. Puts you in a difficult place if somebody gives you a story you don't like, but thankfully nearly everybody was really happy to get feedback and even start competing from scratch. Some it didn't work, and we went different ways, which is totally fine. But I forced Dan to be one, because Dan is a fantastic writer, and he doesn't write enough because he's so busy doing narration. So he had a story in there, and then he, as he was writing it, he would say, look, I would love this to be an audiobook. I'll do it for you. And I don't think Dan anticipated how much work that would be, especially all the commitments he has. But he then began to do it. He suggested Cynthia Lohman come on board to give the female stories a female voice. And we got in touch with Cathedral Sounds, who did the music. So it was so fun getting involved with Cathedral Sounds, because I would just talk to them about music that I liked and music I could imagine going on it. And they would send me some artists they like, and we would meet in the middle. Dan would send me some of the voices he was testing out for the characters. So I was just directing it. I just told people what to do and got to listen to the end product.
Nice.
Dan did a hell of a lot of the heavy, he did nearly all the heavy lifting, especially when Audible asked us to jump through a lot of hoops.
For Audible, like, what kind of hoops did you have to jump through?
Well, you know, Dan always produces very high quality stuff, as do Cathedral Sounds, but then they said they didn't, the decibel of the mixes. Silly little things like they wanted every single author's name on the cover of the book, and
whoa.
I then quickly sent them 10 anthologies that they haven't done that, and lots of little things like that, a lot of bureaucracy, a lot of things that involved a lot of work that I don't know how necessary it was, but at the end of the day, it's on there, so it's behind us all. We can drink now.
Drink and listen to months of hard work, finally. So we'll find, it's on Audible then, yeah?
Yes.
Cool. I will look for that link and make sure we have that in the show notes as well.
Thank you.
I don't know if I had this conversation with Jeanette about saying,
I say, yeah, and it makes him think of Uncanny County.
Yeah, the Homeward Where the Spices episode or story. And like, I don't know if you've done that forever. Like,
I'm pretty sure I've always done this.
I don't know. It seems like a recent thing, like, just because the characters that were like affected by the spice in the story would end with, yeah.
Or I've just been taken over by the spice as the only person in this house that drinks coffee.
Yeah, probably that's probably the latter.
So on the Wicked Library, you and I have already had a really in-depth conversation about your story that appears in this anthology. So, dear listeners, if you want to hear that and where this story came from, we will also have a link to that on our show notes. And you can listen to the whole story as well as what Mark and I have already talked about. It's fascinating. You definitely want to hear where this came from.
Actually, we're going to play a clip from that story right now. Quiem Infra Nos is a story written by Mr. Mark Nixon, and it's in the Shadows at the Door anthology. And recently, it was performed by Mr. Daniel Foytek for the Wicked Library. So we're going to play a clip from that right now, and we'll be right back shortly.
Quiem Infra Nos by Mark Nixon. The true extent of the dark circles around his eyes. Chinnery nodded. Did you spot the large rug in front of the tomb? The verger let the words hang, awaiting a reply. I did. Under it rests one of our less popular bishops, Louis de Beaumont. I won't get too much into him, but he was only appointed thanks to a great deal of nepotism. He was pretty useless by all accounts, as anyone here will tell you. But that's no secret. What is a... He stopped and lowered his voice, leaning forward. What is a secret is that they found a more suitable purpose for the tomb in time. That is to say, our friend Louis is not alone down there.
Mark, can you give our listeners who don't know just a brief overview of the story that they just heard a little clip from?
So the Quiem Infra Nos is set in where I live, in County Durham in England, so the northeast of England, and what we have is this magnificent cathedral that you can normally see from most parts of Durham, unfortunately not from my window. But because every writer in the anthology, we were getting quite an international collection of writers, so I just thought, let's take advantage of that, let's set it all locally to ourselves. You know, you can make something up as long as it's somewhere there, or you can use a real place. You know, in England, you have all these ancient buildings rich in history. It's very hard not to imagine things, take inspiration from it, which is what I did with the story. It's been described as quite Jamesian. So by that, I mean, it's a lot like in style to kind of like M.R. James's stories, who is arguably the father of the modern ghost story. Normally involves academics poking the nose where it's not welcome. Evoking the wrath of something evil. It's a good formula. Why mess with it? And I would like to think I did it justice with that story.
I think you did, personally. But dear listeners, go listen and then tell us what you think.
And Mark, your writing is akin to a classic ghost story. What attracted you to that style in the first place?
I read them when I was very young. they're ideal for your imagination. Let your mind fill in the gaps. I think, like every horror writer and reader, I also read a lot of Stephen King, but mm-hmm. sometimes, you know, that stuff's very, very obvious, very black and white. I think a ghost to me has a lot more potential for fear than a zombie, or I dare say even a vampire. Mm-hmm. You know, why is The Shining one of the best horror films out there? You know, apart from the genius of Kubrick and all that, but mm-hmm. it's just, there's so much potential in the fact that, I mean, just the fact that a building can absorb all the evil that's happened to it, and it's ghostly. I just love that stuff.
Yeah, I think it has to do with how that kind of writing is akin to a nightmare. Like, when you're in a nightmare, you have zero control, and literally anything can happen, and you really can almost never get away from whatever it is in your nightmare. So it kind of feels akin to those primal fears within ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
Those quiet fears.
And that's
fears.
It. I mean, there are rules with vampires.
Mm-hmm.
They, you know, they can't come in unless you invite them. They're not keen on garlic. They don't like sunlight. Some of them sparkle, but less said about that, the better. Zombies, remove the head or destroy the brain. Ghosts, well, they're illy to find.
Yeah, they're hard to battle too, because you have to find their bones. In theory,
yeah. I don't think ghosts would be very scary if they were sparkly.
I don't know. If a big sparkly beam of light just came in through the side of the wall right now, I would still be freaking out.
Yeah, but you'd be
know.
Like...
It would irrevocably change the woman in black for me.
Yeah, exactly. She looks like she's doing like a runway show, and when she's hovering down the hallway, you know, like, yeah, it's no good.
It's like RuPaul.
You expect some Lady Gaga to come out in the background. No. Doesn't really do it for me.
Ghosts with the ghost of Lady Gaga sparkle.
Yes, most freaking definitely. Yes,
depending on the outfit she died in.
It's true. She yeah. may die in a meat suit. In
oh,
which
God.
Case,
well, technically, she already would. Yeah, yeah. All of us die in a meat suit. So
all of us die.
I like that though. You can hear when the ghost is coming because of the smell of rancid meat, but then it sings Bad Romance,
and it's very sparkly.
Oh my gosh, that would be amazing.
Giant chandelier ghost.
So I know this would be like asking which of your children is your favorite, but I'm curious, which of the stories that came into the anthology are your favorites?
Oh no. You're right, it is just like that, except there are 13 of them. Okay. Christopher Long... Okay. He wrote a fantastic story. It is just so original. I could never have come up with the idea, and I hate him for it. It's called The Gallow Glass. It is amazing. Dan does a really great performance of it as well. The whole story is written in the second person. It's mm-hmm. someone telling the protagonist's story, and it's just so goddamn clever. I usually cite that one as one of my favorites. Who else have... Oh, God, this is horrible. I'm so sorry to anyone I don't mention.
Or maybe Harris. Here's a better question for you. Which out of the anthology surprised you the most?
I like that. surprised me. Well, again, Chris Long's is a very surprising story because mm-hmm. it's just so unusual. M. Regan, she wrote a story called Deep, which is, it's very mysterious. She herself has described it as dangerously close to purple, more lilac. But it's so mysterious. And it kind of develops into something quite different halfway through the story. Something that Barney actually duplicated very well with his illustration. That it's a story that when I was reading the submissions, because I opened it to submissions when I had a few open spaces, mm-hmm. I had to read it twice straight away because it was just so fascinating.
Nice. That's a good sign when you're like, wow, I finished that story. Flips back to the beginning.
Yeah, exactly.
That's awesome.
How was the process of the changeover to the new website? How was that process for you?
Difficult. Mm-hmm. I was getting kind of screwed over by my existing provider. So I had to quickly take a lot of the stuff off the website, save it, and have it ready to go onto the new website, and then I'd lost a lot of my stuff halfway through.
Oh.
So I've had to troll through emails and ask people who've contributed for stuff. So not everything is back on the site that was there, but I am trying to reserve older stories to go up once they have an illustration as much as possible as well.
That would be so terrifying. That's one of my fears with Horror Maid, is that, you know, all of it would just be gone. Especially with the changeover, you know, like going to a new hosting service or whatever. And I actually just recently backed up 512 posts or something.
Wow.
Yeah, because I can't use a plugin to back them up until I swap to a new hosting service that allows me to use plugins. So I just had to like copy paste. But yeah, that is terrifying and also a lot of hard work.
Well, I did an interview with Mark Gatiss as well, which mm-hmm. was very popular. He's a hero of mine, and I lost that entirely, and for some reason could not find it. I had to transcribe the interview again.
Oh, no.
Yeah, so I had to, you know, that's quite a lengthy process to transcribe an interview as well. So. Mm-hmm.
It really is, but I'm glad that interview's back up there, because that was an interesting one, and that is also... You know, I'm glad that you're taking Shadows at the Door, and even though it was a blog initially, you're treating it as an online publication now with a blog. And yeah. I'd love to hear more about what you're planning with the blog portion of your website.
Yeah. So a good friend of mine, Nick Wright, she is, it's a day job. She writes a lot of material such as that. And so she's going to be writing a lot of blog posts. She'd done a few before on the old website, which are mm-hmm. a little bit dated now. She'd done one on why an It remake was quite necessary when the film had a different director and it was going in a different direction. She'd also done like 10 cheap costumes for Halloween, which was a very funny article. She's going to be doing some more stuff, but we're thinking about the two of us recently went to go see The Woman in Black on stage, which was my third time seeing that play. And we also saw a brilliant play that was just called Ghost Stories in London a few years ago, which they're making a film of very soon, starring Martin Freeman. But we just thought that the stage and theatre was a fantastic place for ghost stories and horror. So and why it might be the best medium for that genre. So she might be writing something on that soon. I'm going to do the odd editorial piece and interviews. I've got a few interviews lined up, and I'm trying to get a few others. So and I'm asking some of the other writers to provide stuff just when the topic comes to their mind and they want mm-hmm. to do it. Oh, and book reviews.
Yeah. I think that's awesome, because like as you've discovered with, you know, building this audience and finding this niche of people who like classic atmospheric ghost stories and horror stories, you know, it's wonderful having an actual collection of these stories, but then you're also giving them resources to like gobble through other things like plays and books, and you know, it's fantastic that you're making a home for this type of horror.
Yeah, it's everything in the Shadows at the Door mythos, and thank you for that, because I don't want to be so bold as to say, well, if you like this kind of horror, this is the only place you can get it. But it's trying to spread the love.
Mm-hmm. I think you're doing it very, very smart with how you've done this. You started with a very strong idea, a very strong message, which was you wanted to share this specific style of story, and now it's just naturally it seems it's growing to this next level.
Well, that's very kind, thank you. I do try.
Mm-hmm. So with the website comes some very cool branding, the new Shadows at the Door website. This started with your logo but has expanded. Tell us about your branding and going forward with that.
So when I was beginning to take the website more seriously, I thought I'm going to need a decent logo. And I commissioned a fantastic artist called Abigail Larson, who has she's since done very well for herself. I do mm-hmm. not think I would have got her for the to do it now, because she's just so busy. Mm-hmm. But I really liked her style, and she was quite enthusiastic about the concept of Shadows of the Door. We went quite literal for it. We went for a black ghost with a skull for a head. It's really gone on to dictate even the color scheme that I use.
Mm-hmm.
And when I do conventions, I've got like a replica skull on the desk, which matches the ghost. I try and keep things minimalistic. I believe in terms of writing and presentation, for the website and things like that, that less is more. Mm-hmm. And makeup. I don't wear
I think that works. And even the makeup, Mark. It really works across like everything. And like I mentioned before, I've been in like the last 2 days has been marketing workshops. So I've learned so much about branding, and I'm just looking at what you've been doing. I'm just like, it's so on point, because less really is more. You have this beautiful logo. You have these beautiful stories that are about what isn't there. That is what's scary. And you're bringing in that just kind of beautiful open space aesthetic to the rest of the website and to a lot of what you're doing. And I don't know, just props to you, man. You're doing a great job.
Thank you very much. I think, you know, Barney's trying to use a bit more negative space now in the illustrations too. And of course, when you and I talked about you coming on board, you know, we agreed quite quickly we'd keep it black and white. Mm-hmm. Although you do amazing things with color, it's just the aesthetic really suits black and white.
Yeah, although I do feel like I pushed you a little bit by with the portraits. I used a little bit of that sepia tone that's in your logo.
What?
I know. There's a little bit of amber in there. I tricked you. It's not black and white.
Well, you can tell I'm not an artist. I've been fooled. Good day, madam.
It's okay. It was needed for the fleshy bits of people's faces, I thought. So that's why your submissions page actually is in black and white. I promise I will be better about sticking to your two colors next time.
Don't worry.
So how do you see the website and the brand expanding even further in the future? I know we touched on that, but anything else?
It's a scary time to think about the future. I forgot to mention in the same within a month the book came out, I became a father, and I got a new job in my day job life. So at the moment, thinking of the future is very scary on any of those topics, because I just feel like I'm firefighting with aspects of the personal life. But Shadows at the Door, I really would like to do more books. Barney and I are working on chapbooks, which are going to be a lot cheaper to produce, and we can produce it in mass.
Nice.
I think they'll go down very well at conventions, especially. As I've said before, I'm really keen to do audio drama. I actually met some of the guys behind No Sleep Podcast at a convention a couple of weeks ago. We were talking about doing some cross-promotion and maybe me writing for them, so I hope to get some tips.
Cool.
Yeah, we've had two interviews recently. Mm-hmm. From the No Sleep Podcast, and we got to see them live with Dan in New York, and that was a lot of fun.
It's just a really amazing group of people, and I can't get over this community that we are a part of. It's this weird little internet horror bunch that are just like, yeah, let's all make stuff together. It's beautiful.
It's nice, because you'd think horror fans would be quite weird.
Well.
We are.
I think we are. We're just also really, we want friends. We made friends with the shadows under our bed and you know, at the door. And now we're finding actual humans to make friends with, because they're all hanging out with the shadows.
Yeah, it's just, I have yet to meet, I think most people are just so nice, and everyone just kind of wants the best for each other. I met Sinister Horror Company recently as well, and I was just chatting to the guys behind that. And it was a bit like, did we just become best friends?
Yes. That happens.
I think
a
with
lot.
The pre-interview we had earlier, before we officially started recording the episode, that we would totally have fun with a couple of pints in person. It'd be fun.
One of these days, we're going to come to England.
Please do.
And then we're just going to be like, hey, I know you're busy, but...
But we're obnoxious. Can we sleep on your couch or your floor, your basement?
Well, I have family in New England, and I go to New York. I will always try and go to New York when I can as well. That's my favorite place ever, so...
That's awesome. Well, next time you come, you are welcome to have a couch not really in New York, but sort of nearby.
That's fine. I will take free accommodation.
Nice. And we want to say, Mark, that we really do love your writing and just your voice in general as a writer. Would you ever think of approaching a novel?
Yes. It's almost a bone of contention. I've had a very planned out idea for a novel for a long time, probably about 3 years now. Mm-hmm. I've even been to some workshops about, you know, starting it. But there's a little bit of the imposter syndrome, which I know you've covered on the Nine Story, and mm-hmm. I also related to it. But I just feel like if I took the publishing aside, if I just looked at myself as a writer, I would want to do quite a few more short stories before I really felt confident enough to begin the novel. Mm-hmm. But then as a publisher, I also have an indie press I've just started. I need to nurture that and see where it goes, as well as trying to do it. I've only just started writing again. I've literally had about a 5 month just gap, and now I'm starting again. So I feel like I need to kind of write a few more. But you're very kind, what you said before. Thank you. That really does help.
Good.
No problem. We give credit where credit is due.
That's true. Especially when you have you trapped on Skype, so.
You have no choice but to take our compliments.
It's true. We know you're British and don't like taking them, but.
So uncomfortable.
Squidging in your squeaky chair.
No, he's not on the squeaky chair anymore.
Oh, all right, damn it.
Removed.
I missed it.
Yeah.
I miss you, squeaky chair.
Aw. So, Mark, where can everyone find you and your work online?
ShadowsOfTheDoor.com.
That's it.
Mic drop.
Yeah, mic drop. Obama. You guys used to have a cool president. Look at you now.
Yeah.
But moving swiftly on, ShadowsOfTheDoor is where I'm putting most of my resources right now. I have several short stories in the go at the minute, which are reserved for certain places, which I'll plug if and when that happens.
Mm-hmm. Nice. So there you go, everybody. Check out shadowsatthedoor.com. Get some creepy ghost stories for your bedtime story time. And thank you, Mark, for coming on to the Ninth Story again. It was really
thank you so much. Yeah,
always love talking to you.
This has been a blast.
It's been a pleasure. Thank you very much for having me.
Yeah.
Thank you so much for listening to today's episode.
And thank you, Mark Nixon from Shadows at the Door, for sharing some of your time with us today, especially being a new dad and all.
While we are on the topic of saying thanks, thank you so much, Dan Foytik from the Wicked Library and The Lift, for sending us the audio clips from the Shadows at the Door audiobook and from the Wicked Library as well.
Now, the question of the week. If you were a molecule of heat, where would you be? Would you be floating in the radiator system of a cold little cabin in the woods in Maine? Or would you be a little spark flying off of a fire that you had already set off into the universe to let something else burn? I think I'm that spark. What are you?
Mm-hmm.
What kind of molecule of heat would you be?
I think you're a firework. You should show people how your colors burst.
Make them go, Do you ever feel like a paper bag?
We
should stop here because this is totally just...
I could probably use a paper
copyright
bag
infringement.
For my face.
Oh, no. Your face is pretty.
When I shower.
When you shower.
Too much information, TMI, guys.
It's a good thing it's an audio experience, my friends.
Okay, bye.
Okay, bye.
Please record a message. Afterwards, your message will be played back to you.
Yeah.
Your soul is being swallowed slowly by the sole of my foot.
Banana.
Soul is being swallowed slowly by the sole of my foot.
Banana.
If you are able to hear your own voice, then you have configured Skype correctly.
Evil
if
bananas.
Message,
evil bananas.
Just
why,
the one.
Why your sole of your foot?
Because I don't know.
Please check your microphone.
That's what the sole of your foot is. The bottom of your foot. That's a thing. Help.
Thank you for using the Skype. Goodbye.
Goodbye. Let's see if that worked.